Tribute Audio on Full Service Radio is proudly supported and hosted by Simplecast, the easiest way for a podcast creator to publish and distribute audio on the internet. For more information, visit simplecast.com.
Full Service Radio.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to BYT Radio. My name is Brandon Weatherby. BYT Radio stands for British Young Things Radio. Brightest Young Things is an arts and culture website based out of Washington, D.C., with a presence in New York and Chicago. And we also throw events. Our next big event is Friday, May 31st at the Smithsonian American Art Museum. It is the Pride kickoff. We're calling it Countdown. We're referring to May 31st now as Gay New Year's Eve because why not? You know what? Why not? Sometimes you just want to hang out with RuPaul's Drag Race Season 10 winner Aquaria at a museum, and you call it New Year's Eve, and there it is. We're doing it. It's an open bar situation. Go to BritishYoungThings.com for tickets. The guest today does not know what he's in store for, and when I say that, I mean a very moderate to pleasant conversation about the arts.
Wow, you're good at that.
I'm very good at this. You don't exist yet. You have not been introduced, but someone that exists forever because it's his radio station is Jack. Jack, how are you?
Exists forever. Hey.
You've not been introduced. You don't exist yet. This is how it works. I'm wielding a screwdriver.
Yeah, what's with that?
I'm moving, so I have to bring a screwdriver with me. So I'm just wielding a screwdriver because I thought it would be uncomfortable at one point if I took a screwdriver out of my pocket because it looks like I'm just a violent, unstable criminal.
Yeah, it doesn't.
But instead, I just decided, you know what? I'm going to start with it so everyone knows it's just now part of my gimmick. I'm a man that is always walking around with a Phillips head screwdriver, and I point with it. I point like a professor that is both confident and very insecure.
A tool man, if you will.
A Timothy, I went to prison for cocaine, tool man Taylor, pure Michigan. Tim Allen is not here. I'd like to apologize for everyone that's a big Buzz Lightyear fan. I'd just like to point out that your hero was a cocaine dealer. And now is a hardcore Republican, and that is the premise of this show and this radio station, Full Service Radio. We just like to remind you that Tim Allen went to jail for selling cocaine, and he is a hypocrite. That is the point of this radio station, located in the beautiful Line Hotel in beautiful Adams Morgan, a wonderful, wonderful neighborhood. Behind the decks, that's not how things work because he's the engineer. Jack Inslee. Jack, how are you?
I'm doing very well. How are you?
It's been a minute since I've actually seen you.
Yeah, I've been through a lot.
You've been through a lot of places?
Been traveling a lot. I had an emergency dental procedure done.
I heard all about this. You were drugged up?
Yeah.
Where is your dentist? I'm going to the dentist after this.
Brady.
Got a lot going on today.
Listen, you don't exist yet? Where is Brady-wine?
Yeah.
Brady Wine. Did you have a good experience?
I did. I had a great experience.
So I knew you had a dental procedure, but I don't know the actual procedure. What was the procedure?
Wisdom teeth taken. I wasn't too crazy, but also a little bit of gum surgery and like cheek.
I liked how you referred to gum surgeries. A touch of gum surgery.
Yeah.
That's not a thing. It's either you had gum surgery or you didn't.
I had it.
But Jack had a touch of it.
Just a touch.
Do you feel any different?
Well, I mean, I feel much better now.
That's good.
Obviously.
Not obviously. People miss their wisdom teeth.
Oh, it is weird. It's a weird feeling.
Okay, please describe the feeling.
Well, you just like go back there with your tongue. You're like, whoa, those teeth are gone.
See?
It's a different mouth.
Do you feel like you have a smaller mouth now?
Yeah, I do. It's weird.
That's interesting. Now, do you think that you could not portray Freddie Mercury accurately in the remake of the hit film Bohemian Rhapsody?
I wouldn't have it in me.
You wouldn't have it in you to play Freddie Mercury?
No.
Why?
Can't grow a mustache like that.
You have a great mustache right now.
Oh,
all you do you not
you.
Know that all you need to do is shave the rest of your face to have a great mustache?
I'm unwilling to do that.
I understand that. Now, have you ever fashioned your facial hair? As in, like, you currently have a beard, right?
Yeah.
It looks like you clean up the neck.
Yeah, a little bit.
So you do fashion the facial hair.
Slightly.
I did not fashion my facial hair until maybe my boss's wedding a few years ago.
Oh, wow.
I don't like that. I either like it Bushman. And when I say Bushman, I mean Man of the Bush, the band, who is the title track of the new John Wick film, or completely shaven. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I want it.
No in between.
I don't like the cropping of it. The only time I would ever have a mustache was when my wife was out of town because she hates mustaches.
Oh, yeah, of course.
So when the wife's gone, I look as creepy as possible so no one talks to me. And then when she's in town, goodbye, mustache. I want to stay married.
Sounds about right.
Speaking of wanting to stay married, that's the best transition for a man I met maybe 10 minutes ago.
We're going to talk about dental surgery today, right?
If you're interested in gums,
I am.
If you're interested in mouths, If you're interested in teeth, different types of teeth, molars, other types of teeth.
Canines, incisors.
So many types.
So many types.
Tongue scraping. This is the show for you. Have you ever had a show on Full Service Radio or any other network called Tongue Scraping?
Nope.
Do you wish you did?
Nope.
It's a pretty great name.
Nope.
Todd, who exists, Todd Van Ammen.
I finally exist.
Todd, how do I actually pronounce your name?
Van Ammen.
Van Ammen.
Yeah.
Do you feel like you were destined to become an alcohol owner just because of your name?
Pretty much,
You might have the most appropriate name to job relation I've ever met.
Oh, totally. It's like a really extra last name.
Okay, let's go through the origin of it.
Okay.
Todd, short for Todrick.
Exactly.
Is it really?
No.
Damn it. Is your birth name legit Todd?
Oh, yeah. I'm like a total child of the 80s. You know, my name is Todd. Yeah.
That's it?
Yeah.
Now, what are your thoughts on the hit television show, The Simpsons?
Positive.
Good. No Rod and Todd comparisons, or was that your entire childhood?
Mostly God comparisons. Yeah.
Now, do your parents view you as a godlike creature?
Absolutely.
Fantastic. Is that why you decided to be an art curator / gallery owner? Because you are creating the world of art.
Pretty much, yeah. Yeah, and I'm also immune to consequences.
Like a god would be.
Yeah, yeah.
What are your thoughts on Kanye West?
I like Kanye West.
Still?
Yep.
You want to apologize for that right now, or you want to just double down on that?
I'll double down.
Okay. Why?
Because I think he's good. And The Life of Pablo is my favorite album, or one of them.
Okay. Jack, are you on mic?
What's that?
What are your thoughts on Kanye right now?
Torn, and I don't... I'm off the Kanye train.
I'm off the Kanye.
I'm off.
Right. Here's
it's
why.
Too cultish right now, man. And
here's
co-opting the religion and all that is kind of...
Here's why I'm off. The mental health stuff. We joke on a lot about dental stuff here.
Because because he has mental illness?
Not because he has mental illness, but because he says he doesn't need meds, because that is his superpower.
True.
That is what I don't like about Kanye, and I feel like we're almost as dangerous for society as a whole as the Jenny McCarthy no one needs vaccinations train.
Fair enough.
And that's my problem with Kanye.
My fiance is in the mental health business.
So you would rather stick with Kanye than your fiance, is what you're trying to say right now.
Stick with Kanye personally?
Yes.
No, I certainly wouldn't want to live with him or be around him at any point.
Maybe talk about your fiance's profession?
She's a clinical psychologist.
That seems pretty great.
It's excellent. Yeah.
Do you feel dumb compared to your fiance?
Absolutely.
Okay, cool.
And I feel like an under-earner compared to her.
Of course. That was a given. You're in the arts.
Yeah.
Speaking of, you have a brand new gallery.
Yeah.
In Georgetown. So weird. I am not sorry. I stand by this accusatory tone of mine. I like to apologize.
No, just sustain it the whole time.
I've done this for many, many years, and I have no problems angrily wielding them. I'm sure
that's because you're moving today, right? That's you're gonna like take apart a dresser or something.
Sure,
right?
But I don't need to bring a screwdriver.
It's not really a violent implement.
I mean, let's calm down. Don't tell me what is and isn't a violent implement.
I guess it could be.
You deal in the arts. You never know about mental stability. Do you think you have a better eye for art because your fiancé is in clinical psychology and you're able to spot mental illness and gifts?
Yeah.
Versus gifts?
Yeah. Superpowers, you mean?
No, just accurately reading people, I'd say.
Yeah, she does all the work.
That's cool.
Basically.
Okay, so...
I just take all the credit.
The reason why you're on the show, unfortunately, isn't to talk about your fiancé.
Too bad.
It's to talk about your brand new gallery. You're in the midst of your first exhibit. It ends this weekend.
Yes. Tabor Roback.
Yes.
The show is appropriate to this conversation called Mental. And its theme overall is mental health, actually.
You're not from here.
No.
You are from?
San Francisco.
And you are most recently coming from?
New York City.
Those are bigger places than Washington, D.C.
Yeah, I guess so.
Why did you decide to come to Washington, D.C.?
Because Jasmine, my fiancée, I'm bringing it back,
nice.
Is in graduate school in Washington, D.C.
Are you and Jasmine going to see the new live-action Aladdin?
Absolutely.
Fantastic. Back to the gallery.
Yeah, yeah. She would have played a better Jasmine than whoever's playing.
We don't know.
We know, yeah.
You know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Todd, I think you're incorrect here.
Okay.
Think you're being
Can you vouch for whoever that actress is who plays
Jasmine? I'm reserving judgment is all I'm saying.
Fair enough. Okay. We're more excited about Godzilla.
Which comes out May 31st.
Exactly. So we're going to do a Godzilla Rocket Man double feature.
That seems really fun.
I think it will be.
That's going to be legit fun.
We did Avengers and Pokemon a couple weeks ago.
That sounds annoying. A double feature like
one of them was better than the other.
Pokemon?
Yeah.
What do you think of Ryan Reynolds? Accurately portrayed in terms of popularity and quality of work, or seems to be punching above his weight the entire time he's been in the public's?
He's punching above his weight when he plays Pikachu, for sure.
Did you play Pokemon?
That's not an easy...
Did you ever play Pokemon as a child?
Absolutely.
Did you really?
Yeah.
I never played. Did you play the Game Boy or the cards?
Both.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
So you know the references.
Yeah, I know pretty much every Pokemon's name, I think.
Name four.
Articuno, Zapdos, and Moltres are...
Okay, those three. I says for four.
Okay, Eevee.
Great, thank you so much.
All right. Okay. Done. I bet you could name four Pokemon, too.
That's easy.
Pikachu?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
That's it. I'm sorry. I'm not trying
to... Let me try. Jiggly, is Jigglypuff one?
Oh, yeah.
Is Squirtle one?
Yep.
And Charizard?
Mm-hmm.
One of those is a sex act, and the other three are lies. Jiggly Caliente is a RuPaul's Drag Race alum.
Jiggly Kellyanne Conway?
Don't do that. That's sexist. Apologize to Kellyanne Conway.
Sorry, Kellyanne.
Kellyanne what?
Conway.
That's right. We need to say her full name when we apologize. That's the other. Okay. That's the premise of this show. We talk about tongue scraping and we apologize to Kelly.
Who else did you make everybody? Oh, Billy Corgan.
That's just a given. Right. When is the last time you apologized to Billy Corgan?
I don't apologize to Billy Corgan.
Well, I need to ask you to leave.
Seriously?
Yep.
Oh, because you're from Chicago.
Yeah, that's why.
He's done nothing wrong. You know, he made
answer.
He made Melancholy Infinite Sadness.
You know what?
Which is the greatest album of all time.
It's not the greatest album of all time, but
I think it's up there.
It is up there, but that does not make it the greatest. Use words correctly, please.
What is the greatest album of all time?
Greatest album of all time?
The Life of Pablo. That was the correct answer.
No, I'm thinking. Yep. No, it's not. That's not even the best Kanye record.
What is?
What is the best Kanye record?
Yeah. This will be a big reveal.
No, it's not.
I'm with you on Pablo. I'm a Pablo.
Pablo's number two.
It's a living thing. No, Pablo's that's what I love about it.
Pablo's... No, it's not. Shut up. Pablo's the second best album. His best album is clearly Dark Twisted Fantasy.
Okay. I'll accept that.
Best album of all time, unfortunately, is you have to go with... it's a Beatles record. I know. Oof. I agree.
Rough,
I don't want it to be Sgt. Pepper's, but it is. You don't have the form. You don't have the album form without it. That's why. It's not my favorite.
Right,
my favorite's In Utero. Right. But that's not the best.
Okay.
Unfortunately, it's that one.
Okay.
There's no real albums before that. It's a collection of singles at best. So for an art form that's only roughly 52 years old, that's the best one.
Okay. I accept.
Yeah. I don't want it to be that.
Neither do I, but, you know.
Yeah.
I'll agree with you.
Let's get back to Georgetown.
Yeah.
Why are you... Okay, I understand why you're in D.C. You're opening a gallery. Why Georgetown?
I found a very big space that I could afford.
Which is... Those are two things you don't think about when you think of Georgetown.
No.
For those that are listening that maybe aren't from here, Georgetown is... I wrote about this today. The most touristy neighborhood that isn't like the National Mall.
Pretty much.
On M Street... Pretty much when stores open, so like 10, 11 noon, till they close around 8, 9, or 10, it's packed full of people that have seemingly never walked together before.
Exactly.
And it's very, very difficult to move. Rent is very, very high.
And they're all going to Lululemon.
Yes, exactly. Or they're waiting outside of a cupcake shop that they've seen on Food Network 10 years ago. So like it's not the most DC of neighborhoods, but there are like glimpses of like, oh, this is a great neighborhood. It is a gorgeous neighborhood. There's the water right there.
Yeah.
It's a perfect place to work out. But when I think of the art scene in Washington, I'm serious. When I think of the art scene in Washington, D.C., I don't think of Georgetown.
No. And I'm not on M Street. I'm on Katie's mm-hmm. Alley, which is this kind of insane, idyllic, fairy-like.
It's a kind street. Of a hidden street.
Yeah, it's a totally hidden street, but it has this kind of amazing entrance right in the middle of M Street. Mm-hmm. Has this real kind of reveal. There's a fountain. Yeah. There are cobblestones.
It's legit gorgeous.
It's like the most gorgeous street in the world.
Also, not when you think of art galleries.
No,
that's another thing that makes it so odd.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's totally odd, but you know, you have to get in where you fit in these days. In New York, I would probably be able to afford a 500 square foot space.
And this is like 3,300, is that correct?
Yeah, about 3,300.
I don't know if you guys know math, that's much larger.
It's much larger.
Than 500.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's like 6.1275 times.
So if you have a space that's this much bigger, why do something for only one artist to start with?
Oh, because solo shows are always the best way to
Why?
Go. Because the audience knows that you're completely all in with that artist.
Why? What drew you to this artist?
I've known him for a long time. I also happen to think he's one of the most interesting people working in video and media these days.
Okay.
And I've worked on several shows with him. He's a close personal friend, which I think is really important, right, when you're starting a business.
Sure.
I will continue to do so for a while.
Work with close personal friend
artists who, yeah. with whom I've worked for, about a decade or so.
So if you need to work with somebody for a decade before you put up their show, mm-hmm. how do you meet people?
Going on studio visits.
Okay, so you do studio visits.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Really? Yeah. And I'm definitely working on getting to know the artist community in the DC area, the Richmond area, the Baltimore area,
okay.
And kind of forming new relationships that I can sort of get onto the schedule later.
I understand that you've only been here not that long, but are you noticing any major differences between the DC scene and the New York scene?
I think you have a lot more people coming into the space saying, what is this?
Okay, so what is this?
And do you have to pay for this? Or is this the jewelry store?
Have you thought about selling jewelry?
I was thinking about, having a little side hustle in diamonds.
I'm letting you hang yourself right now is what I'm doing.
Ethical diamonds.
There you go. Thank you so
much. Vintage diamonds.
Because usually when people say side hustle... And diamonds.
It doesn't sound good.
Doesn't sound good.
No.
No, not at all. Are you glad you're in Washington, D.C.?
Absolutely.
This is your first show in Washington, D.C.
It is, yeah. And it's gone quite well.
How?
We sold some stuff. We got a lot of press.
Mm-hmm.
The Washington Post wrote about it. Cultured wrote about it. Mm-hmm. The DC-ist wrote about it.
What do you think the city could be doing to make someone's life like yourself a little easier? Does the city have a responsibility when it comes to what you do?
No, I think the responsibility is entirely mine.
Okay.
And I think that comes down to putting up very high production, very expensive, very ambitious shows by major artists.
Do you know your next show?
The next show is by an artist named Jacob Cassay.
Okay. When does that open?
That's going to be at the kind of the second half of June.
Okay, so it's about a month turnaround for you to do the two shows.
Yeah, we extended Tabor's show by a couple of weeks because there's a big piece of press that's going to come out kind of at the end of May. So, I wanted to make sure that there was a little bit of overlap.
Are you yourself an artist?
I'm kind of like a recovering artist.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are you sort of like the musician that's like, yeah, I'm just going to DJ. This is a lot easier.
Totally.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. I mean, it is a lot easier, I think it's... there's a lot more paperwork involved.
And for what you do?
Yeah, and a lot more talking to people.
Where'd you go to school?
I went to Bennington College in Vermont.
Should I know that?
What it is?
Yeah.
Or that I went there?
Both. Are you an athlete? Is this on the back of your card? Is that a good school?
I'm very into Bennington College.
How many Fish fans? Like most of the school? The entire school?
When I filled out my roommate form, before
you
I went.
Wrote Fish?
I wrote, no. No. I wrote anybody as long as they don't like Fish. And I got the biggest Fish fan on campus.
You went to school by choice in Vermont.
Yeah. I mean,
is it?
It's amazing despite Vermont.
Is Vermont too pretty?
I can think of a lot of other prettier places.
Name one.
The Mayan Riviera.
Oh, good. What a name. What a
beautiful
pull.
Right?
What a pull.
Yeah. You want to go there, right?
I do.
Yeah.
Here's what I like about you. You're willing to talk shit.
Oh, yeah.
I don't expect a lot of gallery owners to be like you.
Really?
When you think of gallery owners, you think of number one, way older. Number two, way stuffier. And number three, would probably use that diamond side hustle and not be ashamed of it.
And wouldn't tell you.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah. So how many other gallery people are your age?
There's a lot, actually.
Really?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. There's a lot. There's a lot in New York and Los Angeles and all over Europe. There's a lot of people that I really admire and a lot of people that I work with, you know, collaborate with. But as far as DC goes, you know, outside of the really, really great nonprofit spaces like Transformer,
yes,
or Hamiltonian, there aren't a whole lot of young professionals in the art world, aside from the curators.
So when people think of you, you want them, when they think of the Transformer, you want to be in that same conversation.
Yeah, I think so. That's, I mean, you know, Transformer is, you know, very intentionally local.
Okay.
So I feel like that they have that ground covered very, very well, you know. And what I do is I take people who are more on the international stage,
yeah,
and kind of bring them to DC so that they can be looked at by the Hirshhorn, the Smithsonian, the Phillips.
So you want to be that middle ground?
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's, you know, that's where there's an opening down here.
Yeah.
You know,
I legitimately like you as a human being.
Thank you. I like you too.
I didn't see that coming. I did not think that was going to happen today.
You're like, thought, God, an art dealer.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, all right, we're going to, it'll be educational.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But not fun. You know what I mean?
No, that, yeah.
This,
yeah,
is,
yeah,
fun.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Art dealers aren't usually
fun.
No, a lot of them are fun, actually. I think you may be mistaken.
Well, clearly I'm a bad person right now. Does your living situation look good? Do you have a well-decorated apartment or house?
It's extremely small.
Yeah?
And it's got some good pieces of artwork in it.
Do you pick out the artwork or does your fiance?
I actually get to pick the
artwork. I would assume as
you
much.
Know, she gets to pick out pretty much everything else. You
does
know?
She like what you like in terms of the art?
Most of the time, I think.
You did a little Kermit the Frog there. Like you're not exactly...
Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
No, she's pretty supportive of me.
What's the most you've ever spent on a piece of art?
$7,000.
For yourself?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, and that was big. That was like holy shit, I'm spending...
That is a lot of money. What is it? Was it a car?
No, it was like a little terrarium full of like neon light and dead mealworms.
Do you still have it?
Oh, yeah. Of course, I'll keep it forever. I'll cherish it.
When you moved it, did you wrap it like 30 times, or were you just like, let's just see how this transits in the U-Haul?
Oh, I'm very careful.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Have you ever broken a piece of art?
Oh, everybody has. Yeah.
I haven't. I'm great.
No. Well, you haven't. everybody in the world has broken a piece of artwork. No, I remember the one, you know, I was at work and I was unwrapping something. I was probably 15 years old. I've always done this. And,
yeah.
You know, I was really being careful with the X-Acto knife, and you know, I got the drawing out, and I was like, great, you know. So I quickly stand up, I hit like one of those wall pedestals,
yeah,
and it's full of small wax sculptures,
oh,
and they
no.
all fall on the ground. Every single one of them shatters, and I say, oh, you know, that was fun while it lasted, you know.
<I'm> like, sure.
My 15-year-old career is over.
So here's what I want to know: how does your insurance work? Is the gallery insured, or is each individual piece of art insured?
Both.
And who is responsible for that insurance? You or the artist?
I'm responsible for the insurance for sure.
Okay, so yeah. I'm assuming if you have, it's no different than like car or home insurance. Like if you have zero accidents, it's cheaper and cheaper and cheaper the older you get. Or does each piece have to get appraised and then you get insurance based on that appraisal?
You have to get insurance based on the appraisal only in the case of, you know, if I brought in like a painting worth $10 million uh-huh. or something, my policy probably wouldn't cover that. So.
But who determines that it's worth $10 million?
An appraiser, a professional
appraiser. So do you have an appraiser come into your stuff?
It hasn't really mattered to me because
yeah.
I show work by people in their 30s.
Exactly.
Mostly, you know, you know, I just get an insurance policy that's, you know, covers things that
are you willing to say how much your insurance policy is now? I would understand if you were
oh, well, one of my artists
that.
Is calling.
He said, don't tell them the insurance policy.
Yeah, yeah. I'm going to plead the fifth.
I understand
but,
that.
But, you know, I also think that it's really important to be transparent in this industry, which is, you know, known for being very shady.
That's probably why I like you, because you don't seem shady.
I don't think I'm shady. I really,
I won't go that far.
Well, yeah, yeah, yeah.
You don't seem shady.
I don't seem shady.
Just because he apologized to Billy Corgan, I understand.
He didn't apologize. He said Billy Corgan doesn't even know apologize for.
That's one step further.
I know.
I earned some serious points there.
Oh man! Wow! What a fella! So that's the takeaway from this first part of the show. You're a fella that refuses to believe that Billy Corgan has anything to apologize for.
Yeah, I don't think so.
He's a frequent guest on InfoWars. You want to stand by that?
I don't know about that. How about that?
I just told you!
Yeah, but I still don't know.
And that's why the art world will always be dirty, because you refuse to acknowledge.
Whose side are you on? I can't figure that out.
My own.
Your own. Okay. You're representing yourself.
Yes, I don't have an agent. No one's showcasing my stuff. Last question. Is there one DC artist that you've seen since you've moved here whose stuff you're enjoying?
Well, I'd say that in terms of DC, can I do Baltimore?
Oh, absolutely.
The people I'm most excited about in the DC, in the DMV, are an artist duo called Wickerham and Lomax.
Wickerham, what kind of art do they do?
Wickerham and Lomax. They make collaborative, like, crazy over-the-top installations, videos, collages, stuff like that.
That is so cool.
They are awesome. You guys should honestly get them on the show because they're hilarious.
Will you do me a favor? As soon as we stop this, send me an email introduction or something like that.
Yeah, absolutely.
You can send me a link.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That sounds perfect.
Yeah.
I would love to have you back on whenever you're bored. I know that it's not that easy.
I work in an art gallery. I'm bored all the time.
Well, if you ever want to come to beautiful Adams Morgan, let me know. You're a wonderful conversationalist. I did not see that coming. We're going to come back with someone from the House of Sonic to talk about a very different type of art. Ladies and gentlemen, Todd Von Ammann. I pronounced your name incorrectly. Say it again, Todd.
Von Ammann, like ramen. You know.
Todd Ramen, everybody. He's not co-opting any other person's culture. We'll be right back. Nice calming music you're playing now, Jack. What is? Are you doing that because of the last half hour is just so amped up?
Yeah, I had to calm it down. It's actually produced by our very own Jamal Gray.
What a shock!
Yeah, it's really good.
Jamal's been producing this show. He's a wonderful musician. We have a really good piece this week about his father's label,
Black Fire. Yeah,
and Jamal's music.
Oh, awesome!
Yeah, Johnny wrote it. It's all about Jamal and his father. It's really nice, and it makes me happy that Jamal's part of this station and we're part of this station. And it makes me happy that Bryce Young Things produces events. One of the people in the studio right now is someone that will be at one of those events coming up. It's a countdown, May 31st at the Smithsonian American Art Museum. Chaz, how are you?
I'm doing great.
Chaz, how do I say your last name?
Sonique.
Chaz Sonique from the House of
Sonique.
House of Sonique. So. The last 25 minutes was spent talking to an art gallery owner. Not that different than what you do.
Right.
You're just saying right, but you're looking like you have no idea what I'm talking about.
Yeah, okay. Kind of.
So you have, in addition to Countdown on May 31st at the Smithsonian American Art Museum, you have an event this Sunday at U-Haul.
Yes.
What is that event?
Okay, so that event is called the Garden Ball Royal Tea. Mm-hmm. The Garden Ball is a show that started a year ago at Pensari, a small Indian restaurant. Mm-hmm. It's it started out as a traditional ball.
Okay.
As in, we know as in the ball, seen as in poles also.
Now, I know what a ball is.
Right.
You know what a ball is. Some people know what a ball is.
Right.
Not everyone does.
Right.
What is a ball?
To sum it up shortly, a ball is basically a competitive fashion show where there are categories where people who are traditionally in houses compete in those categories to earn trophies.
Mm-hmm.
But at our ball, audience members can participate to compete and walk in these categories. There are going between voguing, dancing, to drag, to either walking as in like the best dressed for the night, or walking in as runway, as a model. So they always vary.
What are some of the categories that will be part of this Sunday's Garden Ball at U Street Music Hall?
Oh, great question.
If you're willing to reveal.
Of course, of course.
Okay.
So you can definitely find out more definitely on our Instagram, because that's where we blast everything heavily, and also on our Facebook. But we have Best Dressed. So Best Dressed, you can learn more about that. I'll keep it quick. And then mm-hmm. we also have Runway,
okay,
which is really cool because you can basically walk the runway
yes.
and then display what you're wearing. Then we also have Performance, which is also my favorite category because it's the voguing.
Okay.
And that one's also the most competitive and the fiercest. And you can see the crowd really, really getting into it. And so that's one I always look forward to also. And this girl is the one, the girls in our city really go hard for that one also.
Do you stretch before you compete?
Oh, I don't compete.
Okay. Do people stretch
yes,
before they
yes,
compete?
People,
has anybody pulled a muscle?
No muscles have been pulled.
Okay.
So I think they're, no.
Okay. Has anybody ever actually made money on a ball? Because it seems like a very artistic endeavor, which makes me think that like this is... You're doing this for the love of doing this.
Yeah, yeah.
You're not doing this to be rich.
No, this is just a passion.
Exactly. So, has anybody ever recouped expenses at all from doing these?
I mean, on the mainstream level, yes.
But even that's gotta be so intensive.
You're still not making that much money.
No. So why do it? I'm assuming you love this.
Yeah, it's for the community.
Okay.
And it's for me, it's blending two different cultures.
Okay.
Because when I first got to the city, I didn't know there was really a ball scene, but I still got well known in the queer scene. And so then as I got to know the ball scene, as I started producing my own balls, I was able to try to merge those together, which has been great because it's been happening.
Where did you move from?
Florida.
Where in Florida were you?
Fort Myers, Southwest Florida.
Did you enjoy your time in Fort Myers?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Was great. Yeah.
So what brought you to Washington, D.C.?
Well, the thing is, even as a queer person, I couldn't even grow in Florida.
Okay.
So at least when I moved to D.C., I grew as a queer person.
Okay. Now, could you get more concrete with those examples? Like, how did you grow as a queer person in Washington, D.C.? What could you do here that you couldn't do in Florida?
I really enjoy women's fashion.
Okay.
To the point, and in Florida, I always said I didn't enjoy women's fashion because I couldn't wear it.
Got it.
So when I moved to D.C., I started wearing women's fashion. I started getting well known for my fashion.
Got it.
I put that fashion on stage. It became a brand.
Yes.
And then the House of Sonique was basically born.
So House of Sonique is how many people? Because you're at the top with at least two others. Is that correct?
Yeah. Then we also have a couple entertainers.
Okay.
Sippy Sonique and Rigatoni.
Okay.
And then we also have a fashion designer, Mary Bimbola.
Okay.
So, and that's how we also produce our fashion line in our shows also.
Okay. So, how do you all live together?
Because No.
That's more of an old school house thing.
So how we connected was really, I would have a thing called Monday Night Kikis.
Yes.
And we had them every single Monday night or whenever we got to get together. And it came to a point where, like, they just started coming over. And then me being the artist, and also I have a business background, they saw me working and planning, and they saw my passion, and they were all artists also.
Okay.
It kind of just grew. Like, there was never needing to ask anyone. Everyone's just kind of like, their roles grew into the house.
You don't have to tell me your age, but I think that for the majority of people, the older they get, the fewer friends they seem to have.
Right.
You seem to have a lot of friends that you have made relatively recently.
Yes.
Do you have a healthy friend group?
Yes, absolutely.
That's nice.
Yeah.
Was it easier to meet people here than you thought it was going to be?
Yeah, well, I'm really, really, really outgoing.
So, no, you always knew it was going to be easy.
Yeah, like when I was moving away, people were just kind of like, you're going to be fine.
Okay. So, you
like,
never...
There was, especially if I moved to the city. Like, they told me I could move to the country and make friends. But, like, I definitely knew I was going to be okay making friends.
Okay. When did the shows start? Because U-Haul's a real venue. The Smithsonian American Art Museum is a real venue.
So they started a year ago in March. I think
okay.
The first show.
So not that long ago.
Yeah, we've only had five.
Okay, but you're doing them in more and more established venues.
Yes. Yeah. The goal has always not to be to produce a lot of shows.
Okay.
But to produce them at more unique venues. It's about the experience. And the venues really add to the experience of our shows.
If you could have an event... If you could have a ball at any venue in Washington, D.C., where would you have it? Money's not an issue. Time's not an issue. It's yours.
The Kennedy Center.
Why? And which part of the Kennedy Center? Because there's like 10 different
the
rooms.
Opera House.
The Opera House.
I don't want... The Millennium Stage to me is great, but
yeah.
I want...
You want...
I want to go big.
That is the biggest, most opulent space. That they have a box for the president. They have a president.
Yeah,
would you enjoy the president of the United States to show up at the? I would fucking love that. It's not going to happen. I want that to happen.
No, he wouldn't show up.
No, he would not show up. But that'd be very cool if he
I wouldn't even let him in.
Why not? Why are you such a bigot against our? I think you need to apologize to the president right now. What? And apologize to Billy Corgan. You have no idea what I'm talking about. I'd like to apologize. By the way, I'm not. I have a screwdriver because I'm taking down shelves later today.
Okay, I was.
That's just not just who I am. I just walk around with.
You
the
sound
screwdriver.
Like a crazy person right now.
Because
you
I asked
look like
for him,
a crazy person.
I look cool.
Well, you have a screwdriver.
I thought it was
and
like a hipster thing.
It is a hipster thing now. Thank you for calling me a hipster and not an old creepy man. I'll take it.
I just thought, you know, I thought it was a hipster thing.
It is now a hipster thing.
Yeah.
Basic home maintenance is a hipster thing now. I'll take it.
Is there a hipster realness category? And can Brandon walk?
I will slouch in a chair and win. Has anybody that has straight walked at one of your balls?
Yes, absolutely.
Is that inherently encroaching on your space?
No. My space welcomes everyone, and it's meant for everyone.
That's very nice.
So
that's the opposite of a lot of the things that are a lot of other shows. Do you drink alcohol?
Yeah.
Are you worried about that?
No.
Good.
I don't drink. I can't drink often.
Okay.
So
you don't overindulge.
Yeah. And I usually don't drink the night of my shows.
At all?
No.
That's,
I'm too busy running around meeting people.
Usually that is the thing that helps people run around and meet people.
Yeah. Like every show they can tell you that I'm usually there just walk out. Because the thing is, I put all the effort into like the months beforehand. So the night of the show, I don't have anything to do. I just can walk around.
Really?
They may need me for like fittings and stuff like that.
So you're not stressed out on the night of the show?
Oh, I am enjoying it. I'm
really?
Having a blast. I'm walking around. My goal is to meet people when I'm there.
So when are you stressed out about any part of any show?
The day that happened, the moment the show starts, I'm good.
Okay.
But anytime before that, yeah, I'm pretty stressed.
Okay.
Because there's a lot to organize and put together, and then also money, and then also...
It seems like there's not a lot of money, but there's a ton of ego. Is that fair? Because I'm coming from the music and comedy scene.
Right.
Not a lot of money, ton of ego.
Right.
Is it the same in the ball scene?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
How do you deal with that?
My thing is, I don't focus on it.
Okay.
I stay in my own lane.
Okay.
I have my own goals and my own passions. And if I do put in my work to get there, I know it's going to happen.
Okay.
So, and also, it's just out of my control.
Yeah, but it's not, because you have a say in who gets to participate. So, it is part of your control.
I don't... So my house is a collective.
Sure.
So and as I'm the mother of the house, but I've made it so that I don't make all the decisions.
Yeah, but you're still the mother of the house, though.
Right.
You know what I mean? You still have a say.
Right. But I'm a very democratic.
Have you ever had somebody that you wish was not participating in an event?
No.
That's good.
No, I would never even want to bring that. My house, we're always on the same page.
Okay.
Because we communicate very, very often.
Why establish a house? Why does a house need to exist in 2019?
I'm also a business person.
Okay.
So my house is also a company.
Sure.
So we actually have actual roles and titles as
sure.
a company because we're going to continue to grow.
Okay.
And so for me, house, it's... It's a little more than what it means in the traditional sense because I have that business background. And so I don't want to go around saying my company now.
I see.
But I continue to call it my house.
So you're sort of writing the fine line between what a house used to mean versus just a straight up company.
Right.
Okay. That's so is there anyone else doing something like that in the area?
I have no idea. I don't know. if you are, please contact me.
Yes, yes, yes. How do you find new people?
Social media.
You do use social media?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I use social media a lot.
Really?
Especially Instagram. House of Sonique.
Seems like what you guys do is very visually friendly, so Instagram makes a perfect sense to that.
Yeah. Well, I intentionally try to be like aesthetically pleasing.
Yes.
To, like, an awesome
well, based body. On Instagram, you're very aesthetically pleasing.
Thank you.
These events, the it looks amazing.
Thank you. I really appreciate that.
It also looks very difficult to do, and not anyone could just walk in. And I understand that anyone could just walk in, but it looks there's just some effort here that is not like just walk in. You know what I mean?
Right, right.
Well, I'm very vague right now. I apologize.
No, and it's totally fine. And the thing I can clarify that also, you're seeing people who are passionate about these events, also these audience members. So you're seeing people who are putting in a lot of work to go walk these categories. Mm-hmm. We also want to encourage people to just come. Participate by watching them because you're seeing their creative work also.
Yes.
My thing is I want to be a platform for everyone else. I know I can build my own brand, but the things I've realized, I can push other people else to build something for themselves also. And so the thing is, as artists, they all come to the show, and then I want to drive other people to come.
So this is like just basic, if you strip it away, it's just building community.
Yeah, that's literally all I want to do.
But my question is, U-Haul is 21 and over, correct?
Yes.
So is your ball this Sunday 21 and over?
Yes.
If you could have an all-ages ball, would you want to have an all-ages ball?
Tomorrow.
Really?
Yes.
Okay. I'm assuming that, but like, do you want a 15-year-old there? Is that too young?
No.
Okay. I'm just asking.
I would have 10-year-olds there walking with their dads if they wanted to.
Yeah, I'm just...
I would have a whole category for that. And it'd be really cute.
That would be really cute. That would be really cute. That seems to be like... That could be easy to be like a daytime ball.
Brunch things are...
Yeah.
And I would love to work on that.
Yeah.
Because that's a project that would be great.
I've never heard of that.
And
is that a thing? Did I make that up?
No. Yeah, you made that up.
I'm a genius. I did that, Jack. Me. Brandon Weatherby.
Yes.
You're very nice. If somebody wants to be part of your house, how does that work?
Ooh, so that's a good question because I get this question a lot, actually.
Really?
And the thing is, so I go back, going back to those Monday night kikis.
Yes.
That's what's like the process.
Sure. They had to be part of your friend group, essentially.
Basically. Yeah. And the thing is, we all grew together. We have, like, connections outside of just, like I met these people before I even, like, stepped foot on stage for the first time. So, and then some of these people I've known before I even talked about really what a house was.
Okay.
And so we've all had these connections together. And so for someone to try to want to join, it just kind of seems like you have to also go through that same process because we eat together.
So they have to be like a friend first and then a close friend second and then like a really close friend and then maybe they could be part of it.
It's all of that. It's all of that.
Okay.
Family.
So would you rather, not would you rather, but so if someone's listening to you and they want to have be part of it, would it make more sense for them to just start their own house or would it make more sense to be friends to you?
This is why we have a platform.
Okay.
I would say, you can't be in our house, but we have events.
Yes.
We produce things all the time.
Yes.
With things that actually have people come to watch and that have a great platform behind them that you can grow as an artist. And that's how I want to connect with people.
Sell me on Sunday's event or your event at the Smithsonian American Art Museum. Why should I care about it?
Okay, cool. So do you care about like local artists?
No, I hate local art. Now, no, of course I do.
Of course. This is the greatest platform for you to actually come support them.
Okay.
Because the thing is, we have local fashion designers, right? We have two of the great black women who are really, really great. One of them is In Our House, Mary Bimbola. We debuted her last fashion line at the last show. And it, like, in just 2 months, she's already built up such a great clientele. that it's just already, like, she's just so ecstatic. And then we've also had models walk also, and who have been great. And you can always support those. And then on top of that, it's also like a competition, right?
Okay.
So the fact is you're going to see people walk in these three different categories. And actually we have a fourth category that I haven't talked about called Battle Royale.
Okay.
And it's actually like a trivia round. So the thing is, it's dedicated to people who know a lot of facts about our house.
Okay.
Yeah. And so that's a new category that we're actually introducing. And it's more like, do you get information from our Instagram? So I don't talk about it.
Okay.
So people, I say, just refer back to our Instagram. We really want to know, because we post a lot and it's intentional. Okay. We're not just flooding your Instagram for pointless reasons. We're putting information out there. And if you're really dedicated to us, do you know it? And then if so, you can compete in this category. Do you know, how much do you know about, like,
That's interesting.
Yeah, yeah. So
we're building that fan base, man.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And that's intentional, because I want to create a dedicated following.
That's great.
And so we're trying to see who we're trying to find those people, specifically me. I'm like, hey, where you at?
That's great. Where do you live?
So I live in Anacostia right now.
How is living in Anacostia?
I actually really enjoy it.
Good.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I do enjoy it.
When did you move to DC?
I moved to D.C. 2 years ago.
Oh, that's not long at all.
Yeah, it was like actually like 2.5 years ago, maybe now.
So
yeah.
You moved pretty much right at the election.
Yeah, yeah. So and right before the
you're
election.
Like, I got to be here.
That was not the plan. So I moved here right away, and I was just kind of like, okay, this is going to be great. And Obama's, and I remember like walking from the White House and Obama's here. I was like, this is amazing. And then I was like,
hey, this will last forever.
Yeah. And then next thing they had to block it off because Trump was there. And he was like, everybody get out. And just kind of like, different vibe.
Yeah.
I still remember election day. It was like gloomy in the city.
It was. I actually met the man behind the glass on that day.
Oh, wow.
Jack was going around Washington, D.C. He was building the radio station up and he was interviewing everyone. He's like, what's going to happen? And I think literally everyone he interviewed was wrong.
Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah. Oh, there were Hillary Clinton's happy hours already being promoted around town.
Yeah, yeah.
And so the next day, you're just kind of like, wow. And the thing, I watched the election alone. Like, I don't really care about, like, press, really. Mm-hmm. I just like figures and numbers. So
sure.
I just had a bunch of the charts up that show display.
You're just on 538 being like, this doesn't look good.
And so then I'm just sitting there watching, like, okay. So then the tickers start moving over, like, probability-wise. I'm just kind of like, wait. Okay, so then, like, you know, my bottle of wine starts getting chugged, and I'm like, wait.
Yep.
And then I'm like, wow.
Now we're living that.
Yeah.
Isn't it great?
It's
a great time.
Yeah. But the best part are all the protests that happen right afterwards, though.
Do you feel like what you do now is way more relevant because of what's going on?
This definitely pushed me.
Yeah.
It wanted me to do it sooner.
Yeah.
Yeah, because the thing is, for me, this is like a 5-year plan.
But you just kind of, like, moved it up a little bit?
And then, like, I didn't realize how well their city would receive it.
Yes.
And then also, I did, so that made it a lot easier.
Good. I'm glad that the city's receiving it. Like,
yeah.
I'm glad that you're part of our stuff.
And that was the thing that really impacted me the most. Because my goal was always come and impact the city into, like...
Well, you're making that impact. So. This Sunday night, U Street Music Hall, what time is it at?
It's at 6.
And should people show up at 6, or is it more like come at 7?
Well, so... Doors open at 6. Show starts at 7:30 sharp.
Okay,
I'm very sharp on my time.
Good luck. That's as someone that does shows and produces shows.
I know.
Good luck.
Never.
That's the most difficult part. I've done hundreds of shows. I started like 8 on time. So that's how it works.
I know.
This Sunday at U Street Music Hall. The following Friday at the Smithsonian American Art Museum is part of Countdown. Aquaria from RuPaul's Drag Race will be there.
Yes.
You're going to be in the Luce Center, I think.
Yes.
Which is very cool.
I'm actually performing that night. So
very cool.
Yeah. So I don't perform too often. Mm-hmm. Well, which is kind of like, I mean, to me, it's kind of nice.
Oh, yeah.
But I do enjoy when I get to perform, especially in an event, a venue like this.
I'll be very excited to see you perform.
Thank you.
Have you ever been in that room? It's very cool because it's got like, it's got the floor, whatever. But you could also view from like the two or three balconies.
Yeah, yeah,
it's
going
to look really great.
So I have been there a couple times and it like, yeah, I'm really impressed.
Yeah.
I remember when. I still remember when I got asked, and I was just kind of like, wait. When we got the message, and I was just kind of like, Is this happening
right now? Yeah, it's going to happen.
I was like, oh my God.
Yeah.
I was like, okay.
You have 8 days to prepare.
Oh, no, no. We've done this. Like, this is the show's already planned. Like, it's going
to
be great.
I'm very excited to see that show.
We have some amazing girls doing some great things also.
Time to plug the Instagram. Where can people find you on Instagram?
House of Sneak, HouseOfSonique. Sonic.
And that's probably where you want to send people that Instagram
and then
account.
You can also use our hashtag, the Garden Ball.
The Garden Ball is the hashtag?
Yes.
That's easy.
You can also use hashtag House of Sonic to follow us. Like I said, I'm heavy on social media. So two hashtags and follow us.
Chess, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much. This is great.
We're going to be back here. Jack, will you be back here next week?
Should be.
We'll see you next week. Hopefully you have fewer teeth. He got his teeth pulled. He's high on drugs, everybody.
Oh, I wish.
Take some drugs like Jack, and we'll see you next week. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to this program on Full Service Radio, broadcasting and recording from the Line Hotel in Adams Morgan, Washington, D.C. Full Service Radio programming can be accessed live and archived on fullserviceradio.org. Our talk programming is available on most podcast apps like iTunes and Stitcher, and our DJ sets are available on mixcloud.com/fullserviceradio. Full Service Radio features over 30 weekly shows and over 50 local hosts covering every topic imaginable. If you want to be a guest or get involved, email us at info@fullserviceradio.org. Follow us on Twitter @FullServiceRDO. On Instagram and Facebook @FullServiceRadio. Thanks for listening.